Our scripture reading is going to be selected verses from Job chapter 1 and 2. And just so you know, for the next few weeks, we're going to be working our way through different parts of this very interesting, very fascinating part of the Bible. Job chapter 1, now beginning at the first verse. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. And he had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the peoples of the East. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And the story goes on that Satan caused all of his herds to be taken away, his servants killed or carried off. And then resuming at verse 18, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Now the story returns to that heavenly throne room where Satan says that it's only because these were external things to Job that were taken away or injured, and not he himself. So says this means nothing. And God said, "Okay, see what you can do to my servant Job." Beginning again at chapter 2, verse 7. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." But he replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this day and age, here in the summer of 2020, we're becoming familiar with stories of hardship. COVID-19 is a scourge that has afflicted the whole world. But it's curious because some people get this disease, they catch this virus, and it seems to produce no symptoms at all, although they remain able to transmit that virus, and others maybe won't be quite so lucky in how they respond to it. Sometimes people get this virus and it is horrific. You know this as well as I do. It's been in the news. We're all very well aware that it affects the lungs so bad that you can't breathe. The shortness of breath is so extreme that you have to go to the hospital and they put a tube down your throat into your trachea so that air is forced into your lungs so that you're breathing by a machine. If it wasn't for that, you would die. Sometimes the symptoms are terrible headache or nausea. Sometimes I've been reading that people have COVID brain where they're so foggy headed they can't think straight at all as a symptom of the virus. There's COVID toes where your toes turn blue. It can become a chronic condition that people don't get over in a week or two, but can endure for months. This is a really, really terrible thing that has come upon us. A natural question to ask, and is one that is right to ask, is why is God letting this happen? Why is he permitting this virus to come into this world and make people so awful sick? What is he thinking? What's he up to? And maybe you're thinking, oh, Pastor, don't ask those questions. We can't be asking those questions. But the fact is we can ask those questions. The Bible itself prompts us to ask those questions. Look at the story of Job. It's one of the oldest stories in the Bible. It's one of the oldest stories in the history of humanity. And it's the story of a man who was happy and successful and prosperous and all these good things, and then his world absolutely crashed in around his ears. And it's a compelling story for us because Job, despite all of his pain, despite all of his losses, is one who remains a believer in the Lord, one who will not turn his back on God even though all the trappings of wealth and success have been taken from him. It shows a beautiful response to an awful predicament. Reflecting on the story of Job begs the question for us. How will we respond when our worlds cave in around us? Will we have the strength? Will we have the courage? Will we have the faith to choose faith instead of despair? That is a really good and important question to ask in an age of COVID-19. In order to answer that, I think the first thing we should do is answer the question, what it doesn't mean. And there's a few things that it doesn't mean that I think it's important that we understand. First of all, choosing faith in the time of hardship and loss does not mean that the pain goes away. If you choose faith, it doesn't mean the pain goes away. Remember, Job was virtually crushed by the pain of his suffering. What did he do? He tore his clothes. He tore his hair out. He fell to the ground when he heard that his children, all of his children, had died. His physical ailments were so terrible that he was scraping at his skin, seeking relief from the pain that he was in. And though he clung to faith, that pain remained. And though that pain remained, he uttered some of the greatest statements of faith that have ever been strung together. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord has given, the Lord was taken away, but may the name of the Lord be praised. And he said, should we accept good from God and not trouble? Everything that comes, we receive in the context of being the people of God. And this is true. If you love, you will experience loss. Maybe not now, maybe not today, but the day will come. If you expose yourself to love in this world, the time will come when that which you love will be taken away. If you don't want to grieve, don't risk loving anyone or anything. But you know what? To not love is no way to live. Grief is the price we pay for the glory that is love, love given to us. So don't expect it's all going to be fine. The second thing that we should note about living in tough times is that choosing faith in the face of tragedy will not stop the questions from arising in your mind. It's not like suddenly everything is certain and everything is fine because you get it all. You will continue to ask questions even if you have chosen the life and the posture of faith. We read from the first two chapters of the book of Job. What happens is there are 35 chapters that follow that are all questions, all this wrestling of trying to understand why this happened. What is going on? What is God doing? It's not just Job. The prophet Jeremiah, remember him? He was called the weeping prophet. He couldn't preach a sermon without gallons of tears coming from his eyes because life was so terrible and so hard for him and the people of God. Remember David? King David, glorious King David, wrote all these beautiful psalms. Well, in the beautiful psalms he wrote are these verses. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? The words of David. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Before he went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he got down on his knees and he prayed. It caused the sweat to be like blood on his face. And he said, is there no other way? Is only the way of suffering the way that I must go? And on that cross, Jesus had his voice ring out to heaven saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? If Jesus could have questions, and David could have questions, and Job could have questions, you're going to have questions. And those questions will remain, and they are good to ask. The third thing that it doesn't say, but I wanted to point out, is that choosing faith in the midst of suffering will not create a logical reason for you to understand why you are suffering. Job was a good, hardworking, honest, devout follower of God. He did everything right. As far as he could see, as far as anyone that looked at him, that knew him, that interacted with him, said, yeah, Job is a good man. He is the best. He's one of those people you can rely on and trust. And why he's going through this, I don't know. It makes no sense. Even the part of the story that we read about God talking with Satan, and they're having this discussion about Job, and God allows Satan to afflict Job, this good man, with all these horrors, it kind of doesn't make any sense. We expect things to go a certain way. We expect to be rewarded for good behavior. We expect to have profit from hard work and sensible planning. We expect that people will be born and grow and be educated. They will become adults and they'll find a partner and they'll marry. Maybe they'll have children who will grow. And these people, they'll age and they'll retire, enjoy their retirement. And then years afterwards, they will fall asleep in death and be gathered to heaven and enjoy the benefit of Christ's victory. That's what we expect. That's what seems just and right. But the fact is that good people get cancer young, and that old grouches seem to live forever. Life doesn't go the way that we would expect or plan or even think it should. Suffering comes well armed with grief, with hardship, misfortune, illness, and tragedy. It pays no attention to age or nationality or sex or the size of a person's bank account. But even in the face of the mystery, the conundrum of suffering, faith is an option. It seems illogical, especially that people that are outside the faith say, why are you choosing faith? Look at your life. Look what's happening to you. And still, the person of faith can choose to live in faith. Job's wife didn't get it at all. Says, you're a wreck, Job. You're a ruin, Job. Why don't you just do whatever you can to end this? Just curse God and die so that he'll smite you and your suffering will be over. And Job said, no, I choose faith. Even though it may not seem logical to you, may not seem logical to anybody, it is what I will do. So there's some good reasons to what not to expect of faith, but what can we expect of faith in the face of suffering? Well, the wisdom of God is revealed in Scripture. And it's a wisdom that is not the wisdom of the world. The world looks at the wisdom of God and says, that's foolishness. But for we who are in the family of God, we know that divine perspective is the deepest wisdom of all. And so let us choose it. We choose faith because that helps us to remember and to understand that God is in control. Studying that chapter of Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, it's interesting that nothing happens without God's permission. Trouble happens, but it's not that God is unable to stop it. He permits it. Some people would say God, who allows suffering, should be rejected. But we trust that the God of all creation remains in control. Even in our suffering, he is in control. And though suffering doesn't make sense, Placing your hands in the hands of the Almighty makes so much sense. It's only logical to trust in God in your hard times. The second reason that it's right to choose faith is that that will be your gift to God. Faith is something that we receive. As Reformed Christians, we say that we cannot choose faith except that God extends it to us. And so we receive it with thanksgiving. But that act of taking it in, of embracing it, is our gift back to God. And what greater gift could we give to God than embracing faith when times are hard? That is a pleasing act to God. And that is a great reason for us to choose faith in our hard times. Anyone can praise God when it's good. We're going to praise God even when it's hard. And that leads me to the third thing about why I would encourage us all to choose faith in these days. Because that will bring us closer to God. Though he didn't know it yet, Job was on his way to that most intense encounter with God, which happens at the end of the book, which he would not have known had time of trouble not come upon him. Unfortunately, not everyone who enters the road of pain will seek God and know him and be blessed by him. Pharaoh in the Old Testament story let his whole country be just about destroyed rather than encounter the living God and give himself to him. But for so many others in the Bible, the patriarchs, the prophets, came this beautiful recognition of God being the one who is their God in good and bad, in health and sickness. I hope that you will be one who turns to God, knows him, loves him, and is blessed by him. Grace be to you and peace. Amen.